I'm going to be getting there on the 5th and then traveling up to northeastern Romania and plan to spend a day in Ukraine with my friend Ionuța Matise. He's a pastor there in Suceava. And I'll spend about 4 days there with Ionuț. And I always enjoy that time. I'll probably be preaching in his church, and I'll probably be preaching in Ukraine. I never know where I'm speaking. It's not like they give me a schedule and say, you're going to talk here and you're going to talk there. I get there and they say, oh, by the way, in the next hour, we're going somewhere and you got to talk, you know. That's kind of the way it works when I go to Romania. And then on the 9th, I'll be returning from Suceava with the hope that I will meet Nathaniel Rainey in Bucharest. And Bucharest is a large city. It's about 3 million people. And we're going to be landing. He'll be landing at the airport there about 1 in the afternoon. I'll be getting at the airport about 6:30 in the morning. So I'll have plenty of time to figure out if everything's going to work. And the plan is that my friend in a place called Moldova, Noah, he's a pastor and he's a good interpreter. He knows English quite well. And he's traveling from his town, which is a long trip, to get to Bucharest. He's traveling in a car, and his wife's traveling in a car with the hope to meet us there. And we're going to get into one of the cars. I'll be driving one of the cars. Hopefully Nathaniel can handle that. And we'll be driving from the airport to a little town called Cholchia, where we'll be spending the night, and we're going to be preaching there somewhere. I've been told there's two churches we're supposed to speak in. And then after that, we're traveling on to a youth camp in the delta of the Danube River, a place I've never been before. It looks like there's only one road in and one road out. And we're going to go there and meet about 50 to 100 kids. And Nathaniel is then going to become an internationally unknown speaker. This youth camp it's called the Olympics. It's an Olympic camp. That's the name. And what they do is the kids study the Bible, and they're given questions, and they see who's the best Bible learner, you know, of all these young people. Now, young people in Romania are anywhere from 13 to 25. I mean, they all different ages come to this camp. They usually break it down when they're there, and they study different books. And I've got to get with Nathaniel and give him the books that they're studying so he can bring messages from those books so that he'll be prepared. I told him be prepared to preach about twice a day for 5 or 6 days. I don't know. And that's what's going on. So, and then we'll return hopefully back to Bucharest on the 19th to come home. So we'll be gone. He'll be gone from the 8th to the 19th. I'll be gone from the 4th to the 19th. That's a quick rundown on what we're doing in August. So you begin to pray for us now. Pray that I'll be able to drive out of the Bucharest airport, because driving in Bucharest is about like driving in Mexico, which is dangerous. And I don't really like to drive either places, but we're going to do that. I shouldn't make Nathaniel scared. I may just turn the wheel over to him and see if he could practice. He used to drive it. Didn't you used to drive in India? I'm surprised you survived. Anyway, we're going to have a good time. We're going to be preaching and praying for people and ministering to young people and everybody that we come in contact with. So you pray for us, and we appreciate it. Like I said, if you'd like a letter that details all this, you can give me an address, text me an address, or send me an address, and we'll be happy to send you a letter. All right, I shared all that so you'll know what's going on. Today, we're going to be looking at the text out of 1 Peter chapter 1, 10 through 21. And I'd like for us to just come to the Lord and pray right now and ask Him for His help in what we do here today and what we say. Father, thank You. Thank You that You are a good God. You are a holy God. And we're thankful that we can come to You in time of need, Lord. You know us, and You know what we're capable of and what we're not capable of. And I ask today, God, that You'll help us to understand the heart of Peter as he spoke these words today, Lord, to the people he was addressing them to. May they speak to our hearts, Lord, and encourage us to follow Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And it's in His name we pray. Amen. Well, I'd like to read this text, and I'm using, I don't have a Jewish Bible, but I read this out of the Jewish Bible, the text, and I just kind of like the way it was said. Now, you can follow along. I don't know what that is up there. Is that the Jewish text? Have you got that? Probably not, do you? Well, that's okay. It pretty much says the same thing. It's just they use a few different words. And I figure Jesus was a Jew. The people that wrote this was a Jew. So they probably know what they're talking about. So anyway, I'll read this, Lord willing. And I may not read it all. I'll just read a few scriptures at a time, since it's 1 Peter 1, 10 through 21. We're going to read 10 through 12, and I'll just talk a little bit about this as we go into this. You know, when you study scripture from a passage of scripture, you try to stay within that passage. You don't try to jump around here and there and there. You try to just stay within the thought that the writer was trying to give us. Basically, God was trying to give us through the writer. You want to stay with that. You don't want to jump over here and make it say something that was said over here. Now, it's okay to look at something that directly supports that, but if you bring in other ideas sometimes as a teacher, it can change the thinking of the text and stuff. So I try to stay along with it as best I can. I'm not here to criticize anybody and how they do things. I'm just saying this is why I try to do what I do. So we're just going to read 10 through 12. My phone keeps turning off. Okay, here we go. The prophets, this is verse 10, the prophets who prophesied about this gift of deliverance that was meant for you pondered and inquired diligently about it. They were trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of the Messiah in them was referring in predicting the Messiah's sufferings and the glorious things to follow. It was revealed to them that their service when they spoke about these things was not for their own benefit, but for yours. And these same things have now been proclaimed to you by those who communicated the good news to you through the Ruach HaKodesh sent from heaven. That's the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. I didn't make that up. That was God. Yeah. Okay. You know, and my New American Standard says, as to this salvation, I noticed the Jewish Bible calls to this salvation, he calls it about this gift of deliverance. It's a gift of deliverance that was meant for you. That's what salvation is. It's a gift of deliverance, if you want to look at it that way. It's a gift given to us by God to deliver us from our sin. That's what this plan of salvation, we call the plan of salvation, but it was a plan of God giving us a gift to deliver us. I think that's really exciting news there. Okay, the prophets prophesied about this. Now, I'm going to bring another scripture in, Matthew 13:17. If we could go there real quick. I don't think I marked it. Something the Lord Jesus said. My Bible's getting old and it's hard to find my way around it. Matthew 13, verse 17. This is Jesus. He say, well, 16. He says, blessed are your eyes, because they see, and your ears, because they hear. For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. That's what Peter's talking about. These prophets, they were always looking to try to determine when this thing was going to take place. And notice he mentioned the Messiah was suffering. The prophets knew there was suffering involved. They knew, they didn't understand how or when or where, but they knew there had to be some type of suffering involved. Why? Well, because everything they did was sacrifice, sacrifice, sacrifice. That was a precursor to what was going to take place. There was going to be something take place that had to do with suffering. They wanted to know. Get it? Okay, you ready? They wanted to know what we already know. They wanted to see what you and I have seen. See, he's talking about the privilege that you and I have. He's talking to the people there in that place where they were at in Cappadocia and Asia and Bithynia. He was telling them about the great, wonderful things that they have presented to them through the people that preached it to them. Peter is elevating in the reader's mind the great value that's found in salvation. You see, he's this gift of deliverance, this has been given to you. The prophets of old, they didn't understand all this, but you have seen it. You have heard it. It's all been revealed to you. What a great gift. Even the angels want to look at it. And I'm assuming they can't. They can't experience it. Because, like the old preacher said, it's better felt than telt. It's better felt than telt. They wanted to know. So it's such an amazing work of God that angels long to look at it. The prophets long to look into it. The angels long to look into it. Okay, now we're going to read some more, because verse 13 starts out with therefore. And I remember Brad Rainey likes to tell that when there's a therefore, you look and see what it's there for. What he's saying is, I said all that so I can now tell you this. I said all that so I can now tell you this. So we're going to read on a little bit. I think I'll just keep reading out of the Jewish Bible, if that's okay. It takes me a while to get back in my phone. Oh, here we are. In verse 13, therefore, get your minds ready for work. Keep yourselves under control and fix your hopes fully on the gift you will receive when Yeshua the Messiah is revealed. As people who obey the God, do not let yourselves be shaped by the evil desires you used to have when you were still ignorant. On the contrary, follow the Holy One who called you to become holy yourselves in your entire way of life, since the Tanakh says, you are to be holy because I am holy. Also, if you are addressing as Father, the one who judges impartially according to each person's actions, you should live out your temporary stay on earth in fear. Did I read what I wanted to read there? I think I did. No, I think I read one scripture too much. The last of it is, you shall be holy, for I am holy. So therefore, since this gift of your deliverance is so valuable and so precious and wonderful, get your minds ready for action. Okay? In fact, In original language, it says, gird your loins. You ever read that in the Bible where they say, gird up your loins? Gird up your loins. I didn't want to say this, but when the loins are considered the creative part of a human, okay? I hope you understand my drift. Okay, he's actually saying, get creative with your mind. Get creative. You know, who should be the most creative persons in the world? Who should be the most creative people in the world? I think I heard the word there. Christians. Why? Why should we be the most creative people in the world? Who are we plugged into? We're plugged into the Creator, right? Look around you. He created all the stuff we see outside, not all around us. And if we're plugged into Him, we ought to be pretty creative, shouldn't we? We should be able to go to the Father and say, Father, teach me how to be creative, and you'll get some crazy idea. Like going to Romania and finding a youth camp. You know? Anyway, you can do all kinds of things If you're willing to listen to the Father and allow Him to use you to be creative. Well, that's what he's basically saying. He said, therefore, use your creative minds to do action, do active things. Okay? It's called creative thinking, leading to action. Then he says, be sober in spirit. Stay alert and under control, controlled by the Spirit. You know, if you're creative sometimes and you don't have any controls, you can get into some weird stuff. You know what I'm saying? You can start acting weird, but you have to have this control of the Spirit of God controlling you. One of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control. You know, to be self-controlled. You know, bringing everything back to the Father and, you know, Him doing it. Now, what controls you is the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what he's talking about here. On the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. I'm not quite sure. He talks about the revelation of Christ. Most of the time we think that that might be at the end of the world when Christ comes back. I'm not sure because, you know, there are people who have revelations of Christ, you know, Muslim people having revelations of Jesus, having dreams about Jesus, and it becomes a life-transforming thing. I don't know what he's meaning by that. I'm sorry. But he's talking about seeing more of Jesus than you ever saw before, and that controlling you and that restraining you and that also giving you freedom to be creative and do things that God you would probably never do. I've said before around here, never limit yourself and say, well, I can't do that. You might be surprised at what you can do under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Hello? Yeah, okay, I'm glad you all agree. All right, now we're going to get something kind of interesting here. It says in verse 14, he was saying that you're obedient children and don't be conformed or pressed into the world's mode, or pressed into what you used to do. Don't become what you used to do. Because he says, people did that, and you did that because it was in your ignorance. What were they ignorant of? What is the world ignorant of that don't know Jesus? They're ignorant of the things he just told us. They're ignorant about how great the Father loved us and was willing to send us a gift of deliverance, a gift of his Son to deliver us. We're ignorant about that. You know, that changes the whole game. That changes the whole thing. Now I want to talk a little bit about holiness. Does anyone know the definition of holy? It's a hard one, isn't it? It's hard, isn't it? Set apart. I don't know about you, but when I say, oh, be set apart, okay. But it means be set apart unto God, right? And the Bible, the angels are up in the heavens right now around the throne of God, and what is the word they're saying all the time without ceasing? Holy. So what would that mean if you were an angel saying that to God? I know I'm a weird preacher. I get into trouble sometimes. But I'm just trying to say, if the angels are saying, set apart, it's saying you are like no other. There's nothing like you. We're not like you. Humanity is not like you. There's nothing in all of the universe like you. You are set apart. And you know, I know people say holiness is an attribute of God, and I agree with that. But I think holiness, rather, is a exclamation of all the attributes of God. Like, for example, his justice, his love, his mercy. It's like your justice. There's no one like you in your justice. Your mercy, there's no one like you in your mercy. Your justice, everything about you is set apart. It's different. Now, God asks us to be one with Christ, doesn't he? So when we become one with Christ, guess what? We're set apart unto him. And like I said about being creative, there should be nothing like our sense of justice, nothing like our sense of mercy, nothing like our sense of love, because we're set apart unto the one who is set apart. Be holy, be set apart, for I am set apart. Now, doesn't that encourage you? I mean, that I want to be like you. I want to be like you in your justice. I want to be like you in your mercy. I want to be like, you know, we're set apart unto him. Okay. Verses 17 through 21. Now, I want you to understand that Peter, you know, the scriptures sometimes, we almost think they're just a bunch of disjointed scriptures, but there has to be a flow here. There was a flow from where we started to where we are right now. The flow was this precious, valuable gift that God gave us should encourage us to be holy. Be holy. And also, what I'm getting ready to tell you now should encourage that also. That's what he's doing. He's going this to be, and then about being holy. In other words, if you call God your Father, you know, live in humility or reverential fear of the future and what's going on around your life. Live in that. And then he uses this word in 18, knowing. Knowing. In the Jewish Bible, I'm going to read it out of the Jewish Bible. It says, you should be aware that the ransom paid to free you from the worthless way of life which your fathers passed on to you did not consist of anything perishable like silver or gold. On the contrary, it was the costly, bloody sacrifice, sacrificial death of the Messiah as of a lamb without defect or spot. God knew him before the founding of the universe, but revealed him in the, they use a Hebrew word here, Akarit HaYamim. Akarit HaYamim. We don't know. It's a phrase that the Jews use when it comes to the end of days. The end of days was such a conscious thing in the Jewish mind, they gave one word for it. When you said Akarit HaYamim, they knew, oh, that's the end of days. That's the end of days. They talked about the end of days all the time. It was always in their mind that there's the end of days. I want you to know, the end of days for me is coming closer and closer. If you're my age, the Akarit HaYamim is coming closer. It's almost that time when I will lay on my bed and say, God is one. Shema, that's what they'd always, God is one. They would quote the Shema as they went out into eternity. They were conscious of this. You know, we live in a world that's never conscious of death, hardly. Never conscious of this. It's sad. But the Jewish people were very conscious of the end of days, probably because they saw so much death. Are you hearing me today? And I'm not saying going around thinking about dying all the time, but they had a word for the end of days. And so they were trying to say to you that, well, I lost my place here. Sorry. God knew him before the founding of the universe, but revealed him in the end of days for your sakes. Through him, you trust in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your trust and hope are in God. That's the last of the scriptures there. He uses this word knowing, or as the Jewish Bible, it says, you should be aware. You should be aware that the ransom paid. It uses the word ransom, it doesn't use the word redeemed. And you know what? I like the word ransom better than redeemed. I'm sorry, forgive me. I know those little catchwords that we've always used as Christians, I'm redeemed. You know, but when I use the word I'm ransomed, that makes a whole different concept of it. That means somebody laid down their life for me. Someone gave themselves for me. Someone exchanged their life for my life. I've been ransomed. And the Jews use that word more than we do in our Bible. You've been ransomed. Okay? A ransom is something that's given out of love. Out of grace. We talk about that, don't get me wrong. But it's been given out of love to rescue someone that's loved, to bring back someone that's been lost, to bring back someone that's been taken away and stolen. And look what he says here. Have you ever heard the phrase, take it to the cross? Take it to the cross. That's not in the Bible. But it's a concept we've used. Oh, just take it to the cross. You having a problem? Take it to the cross. Take it. I would rather insert these words into that, if I could, what the Jews used here, if you don't mind. Let me get into my phone again. Instead of taking it to the cross, take it to the costly, bloody, sacrificial death of the Lord Jesus Christ. The costly, bloody, sacrificial death. You know what that means? It means when you look at what's going on in your life and you're disappointed and you're hurt and you're offended and everything, go back and sit before the costly, bloody, sacrificial death of the Lord Jesus Christ. That should balance it out in your mind. If we just say take it to the cross, it's like, okay, you know, that's impersonal. But it's personal when you realize it's the Lord Jesus Christ's death. Sacrificial, costly, and bloody. They always like to insert bloody in there in the Jewish Bible. It was a bloody, bloody mess. Now, why have I said all that? He's sharing all that because he knows it'll become an incentive to be holy, to be set apart. See, the reason things happen to you in this world is because you've decided to be set apart. When you decide to be set apart, you've also decided to be persecuted. When you've decided to be set apart, you've also decided for things to happen to you that won't be happening to anybody else. That's why you need to come to the one that things happened to him that he didn't deserve. When you come there, then it gives you a whole new understanding of who he is, who you are, and what it means to be set apart unto him. Are you getting this? And what does this also do? This becomes a roadblock to future sin. When we come to the costly, bloody sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, that becomes a roadblock for us to want to go out and do whatever we want to do like we used to do. It's a roadblock to future sin. The prophets of old knew someone was coming, but they did not know what we are privileged to know. The prophets did not know. They died not knowing what we have today. Even angels can't look into it. They can't see it. They don't understand it. Because redemption is for mankind. But as the Bible says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. This is a treasure that we carry with us. And we need to remember that costly, bloody, sacrificial death of our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to remember that. We need that in our lives. Well, that's all I've got to share today. Oh, don't waste it. Don't waste it. Take hold of it. Be tenacious. Be set apart. Take hold of it. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for this reminder through Peter who we are, what's been given to us, the great privilege of knowing you, the great privilege of being set apart unto you, Lord. Help us to not squander that. Help us to be wise and discerning, and not be ignorant. But remember the price that was paid for us, the precious blood of a spotless lamb. Thank you, Lord. Bless your people with this knowledge. As we receive these elements today, Lord, help us to remember that it's the body and the blood of Jesus that was given for us. As we partake of that, we're claiming union with Christ. And our union with Christ makes us a holy people, Lord. And I pray that we will walk that out day to day, hour to hour. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.